One of the most fundamental questions in all of Chumash emerges from this week's parsha, and that is that we are told repeatedly by the Chumash in the whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim that Paro's heart kept on being hardened by the Ribono Shel Olam, that Paro's, seemingly, his Bechira Chavshes was removed, and the foundation of the entire system of Schar Va'onesh, which is on everybody's list of Ikarei HaEmuna, even if you're a Sefer Yikrim person, Schar Va'onesh is on everybody's list of Ikarei HaEmuna. The whole foundation of that is that a person has the right to choose whether to do good or to do bad. Otherwise, Schar Va'onesh makes absolutely no sense. Our entire existence is based on the idea that we have a mission in this world to serve the Ribono Shel Olam, and the way we do so is by choosing to do the right things and staying away from bad things. So the very notion, the very idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could or would take away somebody's Bechira is not just a kasha, it is as earth-shattering a kasha as you could possibly have on any section of the Torah. So the Rishonim, not surprisingly, to a man, every single Rishon has to weigh in on this, because how it's an akasha that cannot be ignored. So let's try to figure out how it is that we reconcile these concepts. On the one hand, you have this concept of Bechira Chavshes, which is fundamental to Schar Va'onesh, which in turn is fundamental to believing as a Jew. And yet, on the other hand, we have this idea of Achpadas Lev Paro, that Paro's heart was hardened. Second issue, when Moshe Rabbeinu tries to convince Klal Yisrael of his mission, he's met with some resistance. The people apparently don't have the emotional bandwidth to internalize the message that Moshe Rabbeinu is coming with, and the Torah puts it in a unique phrase. The Torah tells us that they simply couldn't handle it, mikotzer ruach umeavodah kasha, because of kotzer ruach and avodah kasha. Now, one can ask, aside from what exactly those words mean, the order of those words seems to be backwards, meaning typically, kotzer ruach, we're familiar with when someone is short of breath, it's usually a result of avodah kasha. It's not usually a prerequisite, it doesn't normally preempt the avodah kasha, it's normally a result, it doesn't precede the avodah kasha, it's a result of avodah kasha. For those of you who didn't take the elevator up here this morning, right, you may have walked in huffing and puffing because of the avodah kasha of walking up the stairs, right? Meaning that's what leads to kotzer ruach. So why is it that kotzer ruach is said before avodah kasha? So there is a beautiful yesod that is developed by the Michtam Eliyahu, by Rav Dessler in Michtam Eliyahu, that goes something like this. When we think about what people are interested in life, what people are looking for out of life, so we see a lot of fundamental mistakes that people make about, what's going to give them the greatest satisfaction in life. A lot of time people spend their entire lives chasing after money, or people spend their entire lives chasing after kavod. And the assumption that they have is that those are the things that are going to bring them what they're really looking for. But what everybody is really looking for is happiness, right? Everybody is really looking for a sense of fulfillment, a sense of joy, a sense of, a meaningful existence, right? That we had this program that Dr. Erica Brown arranged with Tal Ben Shachrami with meaningful versus happy existence. And that's not two things. It's the same thing, right? The whole upshot of the entire program was when a person feels they're living a meaningful life, they end up living a happy life. Meaning that's the two go hand in hand with each other. Meaning happiness is most often not a function of things that happen to you. It's not a function of how many things go your way. It's a function of how much meaning a person finds in their lives. It's just that people often make the mistake. They think that money will get them happiness, that covenant will get them happiness, but that's what they're really looking for. So here's the key, and this is what Rav Dessler develops. The key to happiness, the way to achieve happiness, the shortest way to achieve happiness, the quickest path to happiness, is one simple ingredient, and that is to be happy. It sounds circular, but it works. If a person is a positive person, they create a culture of positivity around them. What is it? Mia isha chavetz chaim. How does the pasuk go?
Whoever is happy is
Ov Yamim Liros Tov. So the way it's normally understood is Miyish Chavetz Chaim Ov Yamim Liros Tov, question mark, and then Nitzvah Lashon Chimera is the answer, right? But the Vart has been said, I forget who, Miyish Chavetz Chaim, if you really want Chaim, you really Ov Yamim Liros Tov, then you should see goodness. You just look around and be positive and only see good. And when you see good and you emphasize good and you're always roe tov, so that will bring a person to a certain sense of happiness. And this is true not just with happiness, it's true of almost anything that happens in a person's life. Attitudinally, what we feel emotionally, what we feel is a function of our attitude very, very often. We have the ability to create a cloud of doom around us, or to create, you know, sunshine and birds chirping around us. We have the ability to create an overall sense of happiness around us. Your Chassadikim writes in Shar HaChanufa, you know, the Chassadikim always tries to identify the positive of every negative midah and the negative of every positive midah, right? He says, you know, like Shara Anava. Anava is great, except sometimes it's not great. And he shows you how every midah could be used for the good or the bad. That's the yisod of the whole sefer. So in Shara Chanufa, Chanufa is a very bad thing. You're going to go tell a Rasha that everything he does is fantastic, right? Someone is a bulvan and a mean person and whatever, and you're like, oh yeah, great job, and you, because you know that you'll find favor with him. That's a terrible thing to do. So what's the positive side of Chanufa? So says the Orcha Sadikim, the positive side of Chanufa is to compliment your wife. Is that Chanufa? Meaning you compliment your wife, meaning she does anything small, whatever, and you just are drawing positive attention to every small positive thing. I mentioned to you guys when Rav Rimon was at my shul for a Shabbos, so we asked him for one, you know, the question I ask at every Q&A with a posek, one simple hakpada that anybody would do if they just knew that they should be makbid about this. Something that there's no yetzer hara not to do, there's no, just people don't think of it. Give me one simple hakpada. I always ask that at a Q&A because I find that you always want people to be able to walk away with something that they could incorporate immediately. Right? So if the question is, give me something easy, give me something that no one wouldn't do if they just knew that they were supposed to do it. And it's just the only reason people don't do this because they don't know they're supposed to do it. So I asked Rabbi Ramon, and Rabbi Ramon said to compliment your wife every day, or to compliment somebody every day. I mean, just to say positive things, to give someone a positive compliment. And that's how Rabbi Ramon said that when the Rambam gives examples of Ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, that's the very first example he gives. So it's a mitzvah d'oraisa every time you do it. But it not only is a nice mitzvah d'oraisa that you're doing to help somebody else, you're actually creating a wave of positivity around you. You guys know Rabbi Ramon? Have you ever interact with him? He walks into a room and it's just like, you know, the sun starts shining. Like there's this, like, a ball of energy that comes into the room with him. It's just unbelievable, of positive energy, because he does that, right? Meaning because he actually practices that, to always be positive with other people, to always try to give off a sense of positivity. In Yoredeus, in Shin Lamed Dalid, the Rama writes that if somebody is chayiv nidui, you put him in chayrim, even if there's reason to believe that by putting him in chayrim, he's going to be yotzei l'tarbus ra'ah. He's going to go off the derech. You still put him in chayrim. So the Taz is very bothered by this. The Taz says, I don't understand. The Gemara in Gittin Daf Lamed Ches talks about a woman who was a shivcha, and she had done some terrible averus with men. And the Gemara over there says, the Abaye says that, if not for the fact that it would be a violation of an asay, I would say the best thing to do with such a woman is be meshachre her, and that way she can have a normal relationship and be elamai. It's a violation of an asay, so you can't do that. But apparently, you worry about the long-term impact. You don't just punish a person. You have to worry about what that punishment is going to do to the person. So the Taz is very unhappy with this Ramah. You just, without any regard of what it's going to do to the person, you're going to just put the person in chayim. It's the old machlokas about throwing kids out of school, right? You throw a kid out of yeshiva. Well, what's going to be with that kid? Is he going to end up in an environment where he has zero chance of growing in your shemayim and whatever? Or are you putting him in a different different setting where he can thrive? Is that something you have to think about? Or you just say, no, he's ruining my yeshiva, so he's got to get out. Right? It's a huge debate in the world of chinuch. Certainly we're trending now in the direction of the Taz, of keeping in mind the long-term impact, away from the Ramah, where the Ramah says, ah, put him in Nidu, if he deserves Nidu, I don't care what it's going to do to him. But how do you defend that Ramah? It seems so crazy. I'm not going to worry about what the long-term impact is going to be. Okay, the Ramah's not talking about children. He's talking about adults. But still, I have to worry about every Jewish neshama. Isn't that like fundamental to being a Jew, that we have to worry about every Jewish neshama? I told the guys when we met with Rabbi Lau, he like lambasted us about what's going on in America. He's like, you're losing neshamas left and right, and no one cares. He's the 70% intermarriage rate, and no one. We have to worry about every neshama. So Rabbi Reisman suggested that maybe the defense of the Ramah is that the guy who's chayiv nidui, you're not putting him in nidui. If he's chayiv nidui, he put himself in nidui. Meaning, mashal ma'adavar doma, I had the great privilege of teaching in high school for 18 years. So one of the things you have to do when you teach in high school is you have to give grades, right? You have to give tests and grades and things like that. You're supposed to do that in smicha also, but Matthew takes care of that. So one of the things they have to. So I can't. How many times a kid comes up and says, "Rabbi, why did you give me a 70?" Because he got 70% of the questions right. What do you mean? Like if you would have gotten 80% of the questions right, you would have gotten an A. Meaning, I didn't give you anything. You gave yourself. Meaning, it's not like I look at the name and I'm like, how much do I like this kid? I like him 72%. it's just purely a function of like what you got. Okay, so there's midas harachamim also. We throw it, but I didn't do it. I didn't do anything. You did it. And so often the experiences that we have and the emotions that we have are really just a function of our own doing. It's a function of what we a person. Hangs out with all the wrong people, makes friends, socializes with evil people. You know what the biggest punishment for that is? That he's not going to have any friends that he could rely on. That he's not going to have any real genuine friendships in his life. That's the punishment. Meaning, yeah, there may be other onshim for averos and this and that, but the biggest onesh is what a person just did to himself. It's just that, it's just a natural consequence. So when we deal with the question of hardening Paro's heart, there seems to be three primary approaches in the Rishonim. This is what Rav Dessler says. This is the rest of it. Rav Dessler didn't say. This is Rav Dessler's part. That there are three primary approaches in the Rishonim. Rav Dessler claims that it's Shlosh Hashem Echad. That really they're all saying the same thing. Approach number one is the Rambam. The Rambam, the sixth parak of Chashuva, says that Efshar Shiyachta Adam Chet Gadol, that there could be that a person will do such a great Aveira that the Dayone Emes, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will decide that the Hachpadas Halev is his onesh. That he did such a terrible Aveira that Hashem decided part of his onesh is that he loses Bechira Chavshas. That's a little bit difficult because then it means that the path toward tshuva is closed to such a person. How could that be that Hashem is just going to close off the path toward tshuva? Second approach, Rashi says that it was Goli Lifnei Hashem, that Paro's real Ratzon Hapnimi was to be obstinate. So Hashem gave him the courage to do what his Ratzon Apnimi really was. Like the reverse of the Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin about Kofnos Achi Omerotza Ani, because we know that a Jew on the deep inside his neshama wants to do the right thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Bochen Kleos Valev, understood that Paro really, really wanted to do the wrong thing. So Hashem gave him the courage to do the wrong thing. And the third approach is the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra in Dvarim Perakei, Pasuk Chavav, says that when somebody does something a lot, he just becomes set in his ways. A person who, when they're younger, has a certain narishkeit, that they're, a certain hakpada, a certain silliness, that they have. So even when they get old, they just can't drop it. They can't lose it. It's just become part of them. It's not something that goes away. So Michtam Eliyahu, Rav Dessler suggests, and Chelik Beis, Pej Reish Lam Le'i Reish Lam Levav, all three approaches are fundamentally in agreement with each other. They're all saying the same thing. It all boils down to this one yesod. Tumas ha'aveira ba'atzma, he ha'onesh. The punishment for the aveira is the terrible thing that one has done. when a person acts obstinately, his own ish is that he becomes an obstinate person, which usually means that he has troubled relationships, usually means he's not going to make proper choices in life. It's similar to an addiction. It doesn't happen by itself. A person made the choice to gamble or to drink or to do drugs, and then it became so much a part of him that he can't let go of it. He's too connected to it. Vayelchu achrei hevel vayehevalu. A person goes after hevel enough, and they become hevel. It becomes part of who they are. That, says Rav Dassler, is what Rashi means, it's what the Rambam means, and it's what the Ibn Ezra means. When the Rambam says Hakhbad HaSlev was an onesh, it's a comment about every onesh. When we do averos, the onesh is that you get stuck in the avera. Kibin shavra adam avera v'shameba, naslo keheter. Right? Naslo keheter, or we asked Rav Asher Weiss when we were with him, he said, what's the heter for a business that runs out of someone's home to not charge sales tax when you pay in cash? So he said, the only heter I could think of is Kivin Shavar Adam Avera Vishanaba Nasas Loka Heter. That's the only heter that comes to mind. So a person doesn't have Avera enough time, so you think it's a mitzvah, you think it's a heter, you think it's, because that just becomes part of you, it just becomes, that's what I do. When Rashi says, Achbad HaSlev was Paru's Ratzon HaPnimi, it's not that it was always his Ratzon HaPnimi, it's that it became his Ratzon HaPnimi. Because we're malleable, and he changed himself. By choosing stubbornness, he became a cheftza of stubbornness. When the Ibn Ezra says that Achbad HaSalev is that we get stuck in our ways, he means exactly that. That when we do averos, we get stuck in them by nature. So you could call it Ratzon HaPnimi, you could call it Onesh, you could call it nature. It's all the same thing. And the reason the Torah mentions, perhaps, Kotzer Ruach before the Avodah Kasha, is that kotzer ruach likely doesn't mean physical shortness of breath. It means an emotional sense of being demoralized or disheartened. When a person has a sense of dread and doom, then whatever the avodah he's tasked with becomes avodah kasha. When a person has a sense of positivity, no matter what happens in life, a person has a sense of joy and positivity and everything, and always looks for something to be happy about, he'll always find something to be happy about. Look around, you'll see that they're most often, a lot of the happiest people you know did not have the happiest experiences in life. Right? I always go to the example of my grandfather, Shalom be well, his joy in life is off the charts. How you doing? Say, Baruch Hashem, everything's great. You know, Holocaust, lost all of his siblings and his parents. Lost a daughter at the age of 42, lost his wife at the age of 53. Everything's great, Hashem's so good to me, Hashem's so good to me. It's an attitude. And then, you know, then you live to 95 and you see good things and all your, and it's not a guarantee, you know, but, you know, and you have a certain attitude of positivity. You only see positivity. I heard an interview, I forget on which podcast or which setting it was, but there was an interview with Rabbi Benefitz, Rav Moshe Benefitz, director of the NCSY Summer Kollel, some of you may be familiar, and he was asked like what the primary qualities he looks for in hiring madrichim for the kollel. I don't even think he does that, right? Doesn't Natanel do it? Doesn't my cousin do it? I don't know, but anyways, let's assume Rabbi Benefitz does it for the sake of what? Huh?
I didn't know it was your cousin.
Oh, okay. Right. Anyway, assuming that, right? So they ask Rabbi Benefitz. Let's say you're hiring the magic, right? What qualities do you look for? So, you know, we know what the job of the madrich is on the NCSY Kollel. You know, many of you are products of the NCSY Kollel. Many of you are madrichim on the NCSY Kollel. It's to be a Torah role model for high school boys, inspire them to want to learn more Torah, enhance their shmiras mitzvos, avas Hashem, yiras Hashem, by being a model, by being someone that they look up to, that they want to be like that. So Rabbi Benefitz said, yeah, the number one quality, and you'd expect him to say the number one quality is charisma, talent. He can give a great chabura, he's an organized thinker, you know, all of these things. That's what you would imagine would be the qualities that are necessary. And he didn't say any of those things. He said the number one quality is that the person be a happy person. When you're trying to make an impact on somebody, trying to be a role model for somebody, nobody says, oh, I want to be bitter and angry like that guy. Hey, no one wants. No one wants to look up to someone who's. come on. No one wants to look up to somebody who's bitter and angry all the time. For those of you who are pursuing a life in chinuch or in avodas hakodesh and rabbanus, it's really important to know. Think back to your own rebbeim. You know, what made you decide? I speak to a lot of young rabbanim. What made them decide to choose avodas hakodesh as a? And very often, it's because my rebbe seemed like the happiest guy in the world. You know, it just seemed like a life that I want some of that. I want to drink the Kool-Aid that he's drinking. I want to be able to live a life where there's just this genuine happiness. The family seems happy. The rebbe seems happy. So that's what everybody wants in life. The secret is that it's really up to us. That it's not, it's not something that happens to us. It's something that we do for ourselves. And that's the yesod of Hachbadas Halev. And as I've said many times, in terms of chinuch, benefits is yesod is such a chashva nekudah. It's such a chashva yesod. Because I've often said, I almost didn't go into chinuch because I have no discernible talents. I can't play music, I can't play ball, and I'm not cool, and I'm not, right? No, it didn't make sense that at the end of the day, you don't need any of those things. I mean, it's good to be Rabbi Kamenetsky, but there's one Rabbi Kamenetsky in every generation, right? Meaning it's like, maybe. But you don't need those things. What you need is a sense of happiness and caring. You care about Jews and you're happy with life, and ultimately those are the most important nekudos. It's not bad to know how to learn also, but those are the most important nekudos. Okay.